Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like dating a millionaire, but we've got a better chopper.
Have you ever been there? Yeah, no, we know. Please, Miranda, here's the thing. Do you need to explain it?
That makes it funnier. Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My name is Bebe Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Kane.
And who are we chatting with today?
Today, we're going to be chatting with someone who's going to tell us all about what it's been like living with 10 years of 50 Shades of Grey. It is Sir Annabelle Knight. It's Knight with a K. So it's Sir Knight.
I am Annabelle Knight, and I am a UK-based sex and relationship expert working largely with the adult retailer Love Honey.
Welcome back to Good Sex, Bad Sex, sex and relationship expert at sexual wellness brand Love Honey and Friendo Pod. It's Annabelle Knight.
Yay!
Hi!
Annabelle, ask Miranda to do her new accent.
No,
Miranda,
don't.
Could you do your,
no,
go
no,
on.
No.
What terrible accents. Go on, do it. Let's hear it.
What's your favourite accent to do, Annabelle? What's yours?
I can't do anything. The other day I tried to do Welsh and my husband went, "So you can do accents. That was a really good scouse." And I was like, "It's supposed to be Welsh, but okay."
Happy birthday, 50 Shades of Grey. 10 this month.
I know. I can't believe how quickly the time's gone by. It just seems like yesterday we were getting the first 50 Shades of Grey sex toy boxes in the warehouse. And now it's 10 years later.
It's everywhere. There's a real connection, isn't there, between Love Honey and 50 Shades?
Yes. So I work really closely with online adult retailer Love Honey. They are the sexual happiness people. Your pleasure is their only goal in life. So they really have you at the forefront.
What a plug.
I know. But I do.
Love Honey, they're the ones that have your sexual wellness at the forefront. It's their pleasure. This is why she gets paid the big bucks, people.
They really do, though. It might sound pre-rehearsed and as though I have a post-it note with those very words on right next to me, but that is the truth.
I've got a post-it note with golf sale on. So who is winning here? Who is winning in life?
Oh, it is you. But Love Honey do they do care about your orgasm, and as such, when 50 Shades of Grey came out and it literally exploded onto the scene, they took it upon themselves to go, do you know what, let's do some official 50 Shades of Grey sex toys. They struck a deal literally, I think it was like 7 or 8 months after the book came out. Our product developer Bonnie was overseas developing 50 Shades of Grey sex toys, so it happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. And you know, since then, I think that I read somewhere on the Love Honey website that they were selling like 300 Kegel balls a month before 50 Shades of Grey, and then bam, it's 3,000 a month. So you know, 50 Shades of Grey has done wonders for the sale of sex toys.
Just for anyone who might be new to this, what's a Kegel ball? Just to
Shall I show you?
So, yeah. You know, pop them out. The old squat and scoop.
Let me sneeze. Let me quickly cough.
Well, Kegel balls are, they're also known as Benoit balls, and they are basically little round balls, sometimes with a removal cord, sometimes without if you're a pro. And the idea is that you insert them into your vagina and your body will kind of naturally tense around them and hold them in. And then you do what's known as a little Kegel workout. And if you want to activate your Kegel muscles, just next time you go for a wee, start and stop your flow of urine, and they're your Kegel muscles. That's the sensation you're looking for. Mm. And having a strong Kegel muscle or pelvic floor is really good for you. It can lead to stronger orgasms, better sex. And as I get older, I realize this is a lot more important than anything else. Better bladder control. So,
this got so sexy so quickly.
I know.
Has that been an interesting side effects? Like, because it's not just the toys and the narrative that comes with 50 Shades, but there's also the sex education.
Absolutely. Do you know what? One of the things I love about 50 Shades of Grey as an entity is that it kind of gave the kink apprehensive folk out there permission to experiment, because it was so popular, because you could get on the tube or the train or the bus stop and see people reading it. It suddenly became just okay. Like, everyone was doing it. And if they weren't reading it, you think, well, maybe they're doing it. Maybe they're being inspired by it. So yeah, it gave a whole swathe of people who perhaps wouldn't have dipped their toe into the world of BDSM a chance to do so. So I think Fifty Shades is brilliant for that.
Do you think it's made our sexual behaviour more adventurous then, or, you know, less coy?
Well, yeah, definitely. Love Honey have seen, you know, a massive growth since 50 Shades of Grey came out. I think tenfold. They're especially in like areas like bondage and like BDSM. The reason this could have, you know, happened is because publications, magazines, the internet are becoming more sex positive. There's a lot more kind of sex positive sex educators out there taking up a public space. So it is becoming more acceptable to chat about, you know, the nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. But you can't deny the fact that 50 Shades of Grey comes out, boom, sex toy sales, or they just heighten year on year on year. And we see massive boosts in sales when a new book comes out or a new film. So there definitely is a 50 Shades of Grey effect.
It was like the rabbit in Sex and the City, wasn't it? To remember, yeah, you know, oh the kind God. Of effect that had. You know, 50 Shades, I do find it intriguing because I kind of, yeah, it's brought BDSM more into the mainstream and made it acceptable, which then I guess in a way some people will, that part of the excitement of some of those practices is that they're not mainstream. So I guess that kind of loses that a little bit. But also there's the whole consent issue. Mm. Has it hindered that?
Within the book?
There's
not a great deal of... Yeah, I mean, I think... When the books came out, it is 10 years ago. So we didn't have these open conversations and dialogues about things like consent. There's been a lot of movement within feminism, like Me Too, and people have become much more aware of how important consent is. It's still not fully taught in schools, which I still think is madness. But the conversation around consent has become louder as the years have progressed. And I think... I mean, I would like to see, and it's probably a completely like pie in the sky big ask, but maybe like a second edition version where consent could be put in.
Updated.
And then, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. Updated. It's not mentioned in the book much, and it is very important. A lot of people who are part and parcel of the kind of BDSM scene and practice BDSM as a kind of like their bread and butter sexual practices found it a bit, you know, it's one of the main things is you have your safe word, you have consent, you discuss your boundaries. And it's a really respectful practice, which is kind of overlooked in the book. It's more about control and, you know, being in charge.
Isn't there a contract in the book?
Yeah, I believe so. There is a contract. But there definitely needs to be a kind of more awareness around how BDSM works. It's not, I mean, I think... giving permission to people to safely practice BDSM with 50 Shades of Grey being so popular is one brilliant thing. But if you're going into it without any experience and you don't do any research and you don't have these conversations, it's easy to fall foul of it. And, you know, you can cause people trauma and damage through that. So it's really important to have those conversations and to do things like this podcast where we can talk about it and people can listen and think, well, do you know what? I've never even thought about consent and boundaries within BDSM, because it presents itself as one thing when it's really quite another.
Because consent isn't a contract. That always sort of felt like it was going from 0 to 90 miles an hour without even stopping for, is it all right if I spank you?
It totally overlooks the fact that, you know, when you're having sex with someone or when you're engaging in any practice, consent is actually an ongoing conversation. So to contractualize it, it actually negates it. So it cancels itself out when you have to sign a contract to say you give permission for someone to do this, because it doesn't allow for you to change your mind or to feel a different way at a certain point. So consent is an ongoing conversation, and it never hurts to say, is this okay for you?
Unless you want it to.
I I think the most offensive thing that I found was, yes, all the consent things, but also the amount of blokes that would go on to dating apps and dating sites, and it would just be the torso picture of them with a tie wrapped around their wrist or something. It's like, call me daddy. Oh, fuck off, daddy. Jesus.
Do you know what? I've got to say, I would love that. I'd prefer that to a bloke holding a fish. Let's get a fish tie and combine it all. I mean, it is brilliant that it brought, confession here, I haven't read the book, but it was good that it brought consent, at least the conversation. So, you know, maybe it wasn't done well in the, you know, it wasn't how people would want it in the book, but it kind of brought that conversation up. How hands-on is E.L. James?
So in the beginning, she still is. Every new toy that comes out, every new product, it has to have Erica's approval. Even now, we do 50 Shades of Grey lingerie now, which is absolutely stunning. They foolishly sent me some to look at. And I was like, yeah, I'm not giving this back. Oh, no, the tags have come off.
Sorry.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And I know that Heather Mercer is Love Honey's lingerie designer. She designed it all basically alongside E.L. James. So she is really hands-on. I think she kind of lives and breathes this world that she's created.
Well, it's... What's going to be our legacy, Miranda? E.L. James is the torso and ties. You know contracts, right? Years ago, I interviewed a woman who was a dom, and one of her clients, punters, said that he wanted her to run him over in a car.
And goodness.
And I went, what? And she said that she had to get him to write a contract. It was like, and I said, but you couldn't do it. She went, no, but he was kept going on about it. So she got him to write something saying that if I do run you over, if she does run me over, it's not her fault. I mean, I'm sure that wouldn't stand up in many courts.
No,
in this land.
I mean, that's making me think of the guy that wanted, the cannibal guy who found someone on the internet who wanted to be eaten, and he made sign a contract to say, yeah, you can eat me. And I was like, I don't think that's going to work.
Why hasn't the success been replicated, do you think? It seems really easy because everyone takes the mick out of the writing a little bit, and it is, you know, a basic BDSM storyline, but it's still the go-to thing to talk about, isn't it? It's still,
yeah, absolutely,
still the word. So what do you think was captured, and you know, do you think there might be another one?
I mean, there could be. I think if there is another one, it will be from a writer or a story that has progressed a lot in terms of what actually is kinky. I read an interview with someone the other day about saying, oh my God, when 50 Shades of Grey came out, it was so shocking. I'd never read anything like this before. And I think it's because it kind of packaged BDSM, which a lot of people have as a kind of a vague idea, and it's quite seedy, and it's like lots of whips and chains and dungeons. And then it took that notion and packaged it in a very easy to swallow, glamorous way that made it super accessible to people. And I think that, you know, it basically brought out the kinky side of everyone. And people like risk-taking. You know, it's why we drink. It's why we gamble. It's why we go over the speed limit slightly, only ever so slightly, please.
Wow, what a confession from Annabelle Knight there.
I know. I went up to 73 miles an hour on the motorway yesterday, accidentally. Oh. My speed limiter. I know, living dangerously. But it does give people permission to... kind of take those risks, but it's really safe because you're doing it vicariously through other people. So I think that's part of the reason it was so successful. Mm. And I just think it was on TOWIE. I remember I used to have to watch TOWIE for work, and I remember I'll tell you what, every year, every season, it was the same story. I'd watch the first episode and be like, I can't believe I've got to watch this trash. Fast forward 1 hour and I'm on episode 2 and I'm like, everyone quiet, TOWIE's on. So, same story every season. But I remember seeing it on TOWIE and just thinking, I mean, if that's not literally hitting the mainstream, I don't know what it is. So yeah. I think, you know, it was... What they call it, a publishing unicorn, don't they? Yeah. There's only a few of them. So you've got like Harry Potter, 50 Shades of Grey, Lord of the Rings.
Phoebe's new book. Miranda's chasing, post-it.
Obviously Chasing Clouds by Annabelle Knight.
Yes.
There we go. One of the things about it is also there's that feeling of lavishness, like he's very rich and oh, anything can happen. Is it hard to replicate that feeling of lavishness in sex toys, but also keeping it like an affordable level? Like, I know I sound like I'm being, how do you, blah, blah, blah. But like, honestly, because you want to have that whole Christian Grey, this is a rich, lavish lifestyle. But at the end of the day, you are also making a moulded piece of plastic.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a difficult line to tread. I think Love Honey have done it really well. They've kind of graded the sex toys, so the different ranges for different things. So you have got the really kind of opulent luxury end, and then you've got kind of the basic standard 50 Shades of Grey, the first stuff that came out, which is a little less pricey.
What's the most expensive one?
Oh my goodness, you're testing me now. The bondage stuff, the proper bondage stuff is quite not really expensive. It's still all like affordable, but it's the top end.
So were you, so when you were saying, Miri, do you think that if there was a book or something that came out that was as huge, it would be, because what I was saying at the beginning, that the thing about when you make something less taboo, are you making it less exciting? And do you then have to really push the boundaries? So what would be risky now? What would seem outrageous now? What would seem, oh my God, what would be taboo now?
I mean, I wrote a scene with a sex machine in my first novel because I was like, what's, yeah.
You can call me BB.
But yeah, I mean, everyone has their own boundaries and their own safe space, therefore creating their own version of what is taboo. I think the trick is probably to cater for a wider audience by, you know, the average person on the street probably has tried a little bit of spanking, maybe a light BDSM, but they won't have been, you know, tying their partners up and leaving them for 3 days. Actually, why would I say that?
Oh,
no one
shit.
Does that.
Wow. Wait, you just reminded me.
Hang on.
I wondered where he was.
Oh God. So what I'm trying to say is that most people have you know, different levels of what is taboo. So if you cater, if you do almost a 50 Shades of Grey sex toy sliding scale within your writing, then you cater for more people. And while, like, I've had a few people who read my first book say, oh, some of the scenes were a bit much, I had to skip over them, whereas other people have gone, I was expecting so much more kink. And I'm like, oh, how do you balance this? Because you tend to alienate one group of people, if not another. So yeah. I guess you just have to write what you think is edgy and effective at the time.
And some people, like, there's a lot of people in the kink world that just like to be contrarians. There's a lot that just like to just be like, I'm more kinkier than you, and we'll like to do it. Trust me.
Is it sexy writing sex scenes?
No. I wish it was. It kind of was very exciting when I first started doing it, but it gets prescriptive quite quickly. So you have to, it's more hard work writing it. Well, I feel it's really hard work writing an imaginative, unique sex scene, because it's very easy to fall into the kind of standard trappings of romance and erotica writing. So it is really taxing. I always need a glass of wine after I've written a sex scene.
How many words for penis have you had to come up with?
I was just going to ask that. You know, the throbbing member, obviously.
Yeah. I actually have a spreadsheet of body parts and various ways to describe them. So at one point, when I'm a little fatigued, I'm just like, oh, I'll just go turgid, shaft, throbbing, great, done. That's it. It's like kind of right by numbers.
Well, you get the adjective and the noun and just like together. I'll have that one. I'll have fuck trumpet. There we go.
Perfect.
Did you think the book empowered women?
Do you know, I'm quite Marmite on this question. I do think so in some ways. I think women, from the Love Honey sales stats and data that we collected, a lot of women were buying, kind of kinkier sex toys and were looking at them more. So I think probably personally with their own personal sex life, yeah, I think it did. I don't know whether now anyone would say, you know, 50 Shades of Grey has a lasting effect on me and I still feel empowered by it. But I do think at the time women were, you know, they were reading out and out erotica in public spaces. That is quite empowering.
And talking about it as well. Like there were book groups. And I think that's part of the empowerment, to be able to, because there was a film made about it. And I think that's it. It's not just sitting there reading it. It's being able to say to your mates, oh my God, you know what I really love is if my partner did this, or I had a partner that did that. Like I know so many of my female friends were just like, yeah, do you know what? I know I come across as quite dominant, but all I really want is for someone just to throw me against the wall.
Run me over with their car.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I mean,
Take me up in their helicopter.
But it makes you quite emotional. It's so beautiful, isn't it? it's an A, B question. How much is E.L. James worth? B, would she like two new daughters?
I'm not sure on the daughters front, but I can tell you that I know off the top of my head that she's worth $150 million.
Oh, my God.
No, that's dollars. That's nothing. That's not pounds.
Oh. I don't know. I can't do that. I mean, isn't it about the same, roughly?
It's about £90 million, yeah. Here's the thing I'm going to do, and I think, because I think this is going to make us all the money, why don't we do our three shades of beige? Three shades of taupe. Three shades of ecru. Miranda, joining in?
No.
No.
You're on your own here.
I don't know what she's on again. What's your favourite sex, Annabelle? What's your favourite sex toy from the line? From the
one
that, you know, maybe, what would you go for?
My favourite sex toy from the line is probably as a vibrator called the Charlie Tango, which is named after his helicopter. And I think I quite like the name more than anything. But
shouldn't it be called Chopper?
Well, no, his helicopter is Charlie Tango, which always bothered me because having known someone with a helicopter, that's not how they call them. So they've got like five letters.
Who did you know with a helicopter?
I almost don't want to say this, but my dad...
Oh, bless him.
And how did they name them then?
The fact that it was a model one.
Oh, shut up.
They have like two letters, then a hyphen, then three letters. So, I mean, he could be saying just the first two, but...
Unbelievable, Miranda. I didn't know we had royalty on the podcast today.
I know.
Amazing.
If you could see me, I'm flicking my hair over my shoulder.
Over your hair. You've got someone to flick your hair for you.
Yes. Come on. Servant man.
Is there still a demand for 50 Shades? It's been 10 years. Is it still going strong?
Do you know what? Yeah, it is. I mean, I read a stat earlier that since it came out, it's sold 5 million copies, just print copies in the UK. And it has leveled off, but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty standard. And I think largely it's younger women buying it. Maybe they weren't allowed to have it when they were teenagers or when they were first like excited by it. And it's been this coveted book until they are.
Of course. I mean, we had the Judy Blooms back in our day. Mine was the one page of sex from a Judy Bloom novel. And we're old enough to get it from the library. It's like straight on that. And you can just feel where everyone had gone to the same page where the sex scene was.
Automatically open.
Yeah, it's like a rite of passage. And now you have to get your 50 Shades in.
Yeah. We had one book in our household.
It was the Bible.
So we had two books. We had three books. We had the Bible, the Argus catalog. No. And it was a book called The Six-Fingered Stud.
Was it a horse rearing?
Well, I was going to say, I had Riders, and I can't remember who wrote it off the top of my head, but I can remember
Jenny
the
Cooper, cover.
Jenny Cooper, yeah. I don't actually remember reading it. I remember seeing it on the bookshelf and thinking, one day I'm going to take
one
that.
Day.
But never doing it, because I was like, they're going to know. They'll see it's not there, and they'll know it's me. So I just kind of stared at the cover a lot and imagined what happened.
Oh, and
really
look
tragic.
At us now. Look at us now.
Might buy that now. There's nothing stopping me as a 36-year-old woman.
Are you 36?
Now you can write the book, yeah, of what you imagined Riders,
yes,
to be.
I should do that. That's not a bad idea. Maybe
and
we could just write the book.
Oh,
what,
yeah,
have you just,
oh,
picked up?
It's a lip balm.
Oh, lovely. I'm gonna do mine. I thought Annabelle was just picking up a pen to write down your, well, steal your idea, Miranda.
You can have that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where do people find out about all these fabulous products?
Oh, if you have had your interest piqued by our chat about 50 Shades of Grey sex toys, then you should just Google the words Love Honey, or the word, it's one word. They're kind of worldwide now, so you can buy them all over the globe pretty much. Just search 50 Shades of Grey sex toys. I mean, they're so kind of, for me, ubiquitous with good sex now, that it's an obvious choice. So if you are interested in 50 Shades of Grey in any way, the bondage side of things, the sex toy side of things, the lingerie side of things, head over to the Love Honey website and have a gander.
Have you found any funny knockoffs? Have you found any ones that are like,
you know what? I
50
haven't.
Rays of Grey or something? Or...
I bet there are. I bet there's like kind of fan fiction, because it started off as fan fiction, didn't it? It was,
yeah,
Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah.
And it's a fan fiction inception if there's fan fiction of 50 Shades, yeah, of Grey, but I bet there's some out there.
Three Shades, yeah, of Taupe or something.
Yeah. Thank you, Annabelle Knight. And how do people keep up with what you're up to?
Oh, follow me on my social media channels. Just search Annabelle Knight and I'll pop up. Twitter is largely work-based, but if you fancy seeing pictures of my dogs and what I have for my dinner, head over to Instagram.
Oh my God, I love that. I loved all that. It was so interesting. How do you think, has 50 Shades impacted on you?
Yeah, I think because you just get so many people that are talking about it and wanting to experiment, and they just want to know. They just want to know where they start. But it's weird. I'm like, is it 50 Shades that has been the inspiration, or has it just been that I'm a bit older now and women my age and the people that I'm talking to in comedy nights or writing like in blogs and everything, and they're getting older and they're just at the stage where it's really hard to tell. But we're getting, it's things like this are getting sex into the mainstream, I think, has,
yeah,
been something that has been springboarded from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Well, like, to the extent that supermarkets stock sex toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible, isn't it? So you can buy, yeah, sex toys in supermarkets.
I think you're right with representation. Like, you know, showing that someone is into the same thing that you think about and you fantasize about and you haven't had been able to express yourself, then,
yeah,
knowing that you can express yourself through it. And it's just, I mean, it's got a horrendous rep because it's not the best written book and there are problems with it. But yeah, you can't deny that it's still got such a massive social impact.
Yeah.
Better or worse.
Thank you to the brilliant Annabelle Knight. My name's Bibi Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
And Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk.
Please get in touch with us on Twitter at Good Sex, Bad Sex with a triple X at the end, or Good Sex, Bad Sex without the triple X on Instagram.
And if you have a sexy question or query, or you'd like to talk to us about your sex life, you know, be respectful. Get in touch, info@sexpod.co.uk.
And we are going to see you next week.
Unless, of course, we're tied up.
Hey!